The remarkable Helen Stillner is from Tallinn, Estonia. She runs the best music showcase event in Europe, Tallinn Music Week, and a new event in a border town called Narva, a music festival which she set up to build bridges between the Estonian and Russian communities. In this interview, Helen talks about how we can use music and culture to build bridges in these dangerous times.
The core of Tallinn Music Week, why we started it, was of course to give opportunities to artists who perform there. But I think giving opportunities comes back to some sort of a broader philosophy in general. I think it has to do with equal opportunities for sort of self-expression. And then I think when we talk about opportunities to the artist community, and when we talk about sort of independent artists who might not have any sort of institutional support or anything like that, then we always talk about what is this kind of a culture that we want to nourish and protect. Sometimes it can be something very vulnerable. Sometimes it can be something that doesn't have any sort of funding or sponsorship. So I think, in a way, it is a format of society where we want to sort of show that basically everybody needs to have an opportunity for a sort of a more democratic platform, or being able to express themselves, or being able to be visible, or something like that. So I think that's the thinking behind it. Well, that's my dog wanting to say.
So it's, on one level, it's trying to provide those artistic opportunities to everybody, but on another level, it's also using music as a tool for social change, which is an old idea, and one mm-hmm. that in the last few decades has gradually been discredited. But you still believe that creativity and arts can actually make that difference to make the world a better place.
Well, definitely. I mean, the story of Estonia's independence, for example, is all about that. You know, I'm sure everyone's heard of the story of the Estonian singing revolution. But I think what was behind of the story of Estonia sort of regaining its independence 25 years ago, it was also the story of the creative people, sort of like the creative unions at that time, starting to come together. And, you know, everybody using the means that they had. There were poets, there were painters, there were musicians, there were architects, you know. That was sort of like the intellectual capital of the country.
Yeah.
And I think it's, again, to do with the freedom of expression. You know, we hear it everywhere that, I mean, even looking at Russia, you know, when we see that there are some art forms or some kind of, you know, we heard the news about the Russian government wanting to organize or some kind of starting to coordinate the rap music in Russia, you know. Yeah. When we hear about instances like this, then I think it's the first sort of a very visible parameter when freedom of speech is sort of in danger. So I think this sort of vocalism or sort of diversity behind culture is in a way like a mirror to the, you know, health of the society. You know, if we, you know, diversity has in all forms has always been a very key value to Tallinn Music Week as well. I mean, we find it very important to have equally the classical music, jazz, folk music, or I don't know, punk, techno, hip-hop presented. So I think it's sort of like a reflection of how free the society is and what is expected in the society. And of course, on the other hand, I think artists, they all have some sort of a platform. And with that platform, I think comes some level of responsibility as well, is that I think we can all play a role in spreading the word about the kind of society we want to live in. So it's about, I think, taking responsibility towards what kind of society do we want to live in, really.
When you were talking there about the creativity and the cultural side of Estonia being very key to its revolution and its evolution, I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about the choirs? Because it's incredible, the choir culture there. And that's a very big part of that as well, isn't it? The singing of the old Estonian folk songs in Estonian in the period when it was occupied by Russia.
Yeah, well, the sort of singing tradition in Estonia comes very strongly about, it's all about storytelling. And it's actually sort of like a way, it's in a way even the Estonian traditional folk songs and the choir tradition as well is a bit like archives of the Estonian culture. And for example, now when we look at the sort of contemporary music that artists like Maarja Nuut or Traidu Täkkur, they are portraying as well, it's you can see this underlying element of their music being always the old ancient stories that were basically told by the, I don't know, bonfires within families and family occasions. And, you know, there were songs that people were singing when they were working on the fields, or there were songs that people were singing when they were, I don't know, out on the meadows with their sheep or something like that. So yeah. it's kind of an history element it's basically, yeah, I've never thought about it myself like this even, but I think these old songs are like history archives, and they're very sort of strong in their spirit in that sense. And choir singing to a small nation is always about, I think, also empowerment. So it's kind of like multiplying the voices, each of the individual voices, in one harmony or in one message or using the same lyrics or telling the same stories. So I think, you know, because we've had this song festival tradition as well in Estonia, which is very, very long. And the fact that there are 1.3 million of us Estonians right now, then coming together for one purpose and singing together has always made us feel a bit bigger. So I think it's, but the power of sharing a moment, the power of sharing the story, the power of sharing the message, and doing it all sort of side by side next to each other. that's I think the power of choir tradition, and that's I think why it has been so important in Estonia.
And what's for me what's fascinating about that is the idea that what was once a way of holding on to a small culture, kind of in defiance of a larger culture, is now you've kind of multiplied that in an international level. Mm-hmm. So it's not local. What you're trying to do is take the next step forwards with Tallinn Music Week and make this an international thing, a bonding thing, a cross-boundary idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a strong believer in the notion that no culture can survive if they're closed or sort of locked in and very strict about what they do and what is the notion of culture. So I think the smaller the nation, the more important it is that we open up to other cultures. So this kind of interaction is what keeps the culture growing. And the reason why we started, in fact, Tallinn Music Week, when the first edition was happening in 2009, the main goal was, of course, to sort of kick off international interactions for Estonian musicians. Because, you know, if you copy-paste one format of thinking or one type of tradition, and it just sort of succumbs to, it doesn't get much richer. That's my thinking. And if we look at Estonian history, in any case, we've had so many international influences to us through all the centuries. So it was never like, of course, you know, you have the core of the tradition, but culture is a living thing. So every next decade, you know, you get a new set of influences on top of it. And I think that's beautiful and that's brilliant. And on the other hand as well, these Estonian artists, and there are so many of them, so they they just deserve to have wider opportunities elsewhere, and they sort of need to see further and travel further and perform elsewhere, and they need to understand what's also the global context of where they fit in. I think sort of understanding your own uniqueness and being confident in this imbalance of understanding what's the bigger context of the cultural richness elsewhere, I think is very important.
So in a way, you bring the world as much as you can to Estonia, but also take Estonia back out to the world.
Exactly. You know, when we started Tallinn Music Week, the main goal was to give opportunities to Estonian artists to go abroad. But we started realizing very, very quickly already, I think on our second year, it was very sort of self-evident that it's also the Estonian artists who benefit from international artistic community coming over here as well. So sharing experiences, I don't know, getting to know each other, learning from each other. I mean, immediately it started also having kind of practical results. I mean, we saw Estonian artists going on tours with, I don't know, Danish or Finnish or Russian or Latvian bands and artists. It immediately sort of doubled everybody's opportunities, but also there's always this learning curve. It's an education, basically. So I think, you know, the more you see, the broader your eyesight is, the more you also have to offer to your audiences.
So when you started, it was, for you, was it more of a cultural idea? You know, the idea of, yes, getting Estonian music and culture exported, but also, you know, bringing these range of influences in, or did you always have a social and even political idea of what you're trying to do with Tallinn Music Week?
Well, I think when we started, it was a bit more straightforward about giving a tool for music exports. So it was a bit more practical when we started, and this practical element has never disappeared either. It's still there. You know, it's also giving career opportunities to artists. But this social impact is something we started realizing step by step as we went along. Well, for example, you know, in the case of Estonia, there has always been the question of integration with Estonian-speaking and Russian-speaking population. You know, in Estonia, we have 30% of people living here being Russian-speaking. And, you know, no matter how many sort of government-run programs or integration policies we've had, we've just realized that cultural events, festivals, and sort of cultural encounters offer a way more natural and effective way of people coming together. You know, the fact that we started this Station Narva festival last year in Narva, which is actually a border town of Estonia to Russia, and Estonian town with 96% Russian-speaking people. So it's basically Russian-spoken EU right there in the Russian border. And it was always the case that, you know, Narva was a town which was a bit separate or secluded from the rest of Estonia. And, you know, there were social problems and we were, you know, worried about people in Narva being, you know, only observing Russian propaganda media channels. And, you know, we didn't have a very good plan what to do about it. But I think it's just only recently, past couple of years, that we've all realized that, you know, the minute we start doing, co-creating something, basically, the minute then, you know, things really change. And you know, this time at Tallinn Music Week, we had two bands from Narva performing at Tallinn Music Week. So, you know, that has never happened. It's kind of like even bizarre to think that we talk about international opportunities and export, but at the same time, within the country itself, you know, it seems that we have even borders within our own country, you know. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's so surprising how rare were these opportunities for artists from, let's say, east of Estonia, the Russian-speaking majority part of Estonia? How little were these opportunities for them to, you know, get wider recognition in the country? So I mean, like, there are very, very many layers to the same story that culture is a way of uniting people for a common cause, and uniting people in a way that, you know, doesn't cause friction necessarily.
Well, I think Tala Music Week, of course, much documented, great events, but I think Narva is a remarkable event. The scale of ambition to try and make that work, a town with a broken town in a different part of the country, a cut off town, and you took over a whole old factory. Was it the biggest factory in Europe, and helped convert that into an art space where they could put on, where you could put on this event with several bands, in an attempt to create a dialogue basically with a Russian community that feels isolated in a different country, in Estonia.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, the main venue for the festival, well, the factory is called Grenholm Factory. It's actually a Swedish-owned factory that was built in the 19th century and with a clear plan. And at that time, it actually was the biggest textile factory in Europe. When the Soviet wall broke down, it had 12,000 workers in the textile factory. So it's this kind of a beautiful red brick building, which is very similar. Oh, by the way, actually, the consultants in building this factory were from Manchester. So it was...
they knew about post-industrial decay.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it's huge. It's 300,000 square meters. I don't know if that number tells anything to anybody, but like a normal large department store would be a maximum of 10,000 square meters. So this textile factory is 300,000 square meters. So it's sure. On an island in its own, built into a river right in between Russia and Estonia. And, well, it's been actually closed down, this factory, for a decade now. It was, I think, in 2006 when the last 1,000 workers were let go. And, you know, it wasn't able to operate anymore. So the thinking in Narva, I mean, of course, there are sets of social problems there. So I think, you know, trying to give a new type of engine to a town like Narva, is the real thinking behind it, that, you know, a town with a very heavily industrialized sort of past, and people still living in the hope of, you know, when does the new factory open up, and not realizing that it probably will never open up, you know, so needing to find themselves new type of occupation and motivation. So
I mean, what I liked about that as well, you worked with the local community to put the festival on, help rebuild the factory spaces. Like, you used like a local architect. It's Igor, isn't it, Igor? You worked with people in the town. You didn't just parachute in from the big city. It was actually a collaborative effort to make this work in Narva.
Yeah, well, it's always, of course, you know, I think that's the only way to do it. Immediately when you start, you know, bringing in culture from Tallinn, it's a bit like this... that there's always going to be some sort of like protectionism against it, and I think you really shouldn't go about it so like that. So our thinking was always that we should have, you know, 50% of the team based in Narva, and then the rest of the team came from Tallinn, and we really tried to figure out together with the local team what is the type of a festival that this town would like to have. But it was like also like a three-layer type of thinking, because Narva is 130 kilometers away from St. Petersburg, which is 6 million people, right, you know, 3-hour ride, you know, car ride away. So we always also thought that, you know, Narva is a great hub for Russian and European artists and entrepreneurs to collaborate. So, you know, it was about like how to get better cultural connections with Russia and Russian cultural scene, how to build a tool that can sort of ease the problems between, you know, the social problems that are there in Narva, and also, you know, how to make it international in a way that not only people from connected to Tallinn Music Week, but people in Narva would also realize that what are the broader opportunities that they actually have. But yeah, what the thinking behind it was also that, you know, we all know that diplomatically and politically the European ties with Russia are basically non-existent at the moment. But I think in times when we can't work through diplomacy and politics, I think that these are exactly the times when we again need to work through culture and from people to people. So a lot of the thinking behind Narva's ventures were to do with that as well.
So what was the reaction from the Narva itself, the Russian community, and has it changed the town as well, and does it feel more joined on to Estonia now?
Well, it's let's say it is definitely going to be a long process. I mean, it changed very many things in a way that, you know, it's kind of odd to think that we always were thinking about it in a way that, well, we from Tallinn don't go to Narva that often. People from Narva came to Tallinn and the rest of Estonia even less. So, I mean, imagining that people from this town of 65,000 people would think that, you know, their life and their work opportunities and their career opportunities, it only is locked into this, you know, small surrounding of their own town. I think that has changed to some of the people. But, well, I think the biggest challenge to tackle there is that the local politics in Narva town is very, very complicated. And in fact, you know, I think, interestingly enough, the cultural projects and initiatives that took place in Narva in 2018 have put this sort of a bright spotlight on this area that, you know, two of the biggest politicians who were standing as an obstacle are now sort of accused of corruption and taken away from the system. So I think, you know, there are very many layers of it. You know, some people need to be, in a way, replaced so that the town actually can develop further. But that is all happening, and I think it's going to be work that needs to sort of need some serious resilience for years to come.
And the other side of the coin is the Estonian community in Estonia, and do they embrace this work? Are they ready to embrace the Russian community?
Yes, they really are, and they have been for a while. I think the reason why we have so many problems still between the Russian and Estonian-speaking communities is actually to blame the politics for. I mean, it's been some of the political parties who have been able to play it against each other. But I think that is the thing that, you know, culture has the opportunity of depoliticizing topics. You know, if we get this integration topic in the hands of people instead of politicians, then, you know, most of the problems are non-existent, because eventually it's just from people to people. And the natural thing for a human being to be is, you know, find a way to communicate, basically.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's another great example of how, you know, activism or people-led initiatives are a very, very important sort of a counterforce for just government or politics.
Yeah, and also with Russia itself, the cultural bridges, you've been helping to build those, because the great Russian music scene at the moment, you've been very key with Tallinn Music Week, connecting this into Europe. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's a deliberate policy, but do you feel this is actually making quite a difference, building quite a few more ties with Russia?
Oh, definitely. It has been deliberate, but it's also been organic in the sense that, you know, we couldn't sort of produce it if it wouldn't be there. So the fact which I find the most interesting is that, you know, there is some kind of a new life or some sort of a revival of the creative scene in Russia, that the amount of interesting talent we see coming from Russia, both, well, I mean, from music or in visual arts or in architecture, city-based development, is quite staggering. And, you know, it's a huge, wide country. And when we talk to the creative people in Russia and look at how limited their opportunities are, then I think we're quite privileged here in Estonia. You know, I can see very well that the structure of being part of EU, how much it helps the creative scene. You know, you can be part of international projects very easily, and you can be, you know, part of any sort of initiatives. And traveling is easy, doing business internationally is easy. So facilitating this kind of open collaboration with the Russian creative scene, I think, it's very necessary to them. And immediately, if you facilitate something, you also see results going. Kind of some law of nature or something like that. You kind of invest a little bit into something and it actually starts growing. So it's the logic of giving people motivation and outlet, and it develops.
It's interesting there you mentioned building bridges and the EU. And one of the themes this year at Tallinn Music, of course, was Brexit. Mm-hmm. And it just must seem completely crazy. It seems crazy to us living in this middle of this situation. But it must seem crazy to you in Estonia with all these, where you can see very clearly the advantages of the European Union, how ridiculous mm-hmm. what's going on in the UK.
Well, yes. But of course, this conversation is going on in many European countries as well. I mean, in Estonia right now, for the first time ever, we will have a far-right party most likely entering the government as well, and they're quite anti-EU as well. So the sentiment is not unique to UK, but, you know, it's always like this. When something is so self-evidently good for development, then it's so frustrating to see people trying to tear it down, and it's so short-sighted. So it's kind of very difficult to fight against this ignorance.
Yeah.
But the, you know, for a small country like Estonia, the kind of benefit of it should be so self-evident. What is there to even discuss? You know, okay, in the case of Britain, you could always say that, you know, we've always been a powerful country. I don't know. But in the case of Estonia, where it's just, you know, we really depend on our neighbors and good relationships. The fact that it's possible to sort of plant an anti-EU sentiment also in small countries like Estonia, just, you know, it's unbelievable, really.
It shows there's a lot, no matter how much work you do with Tallinn Music Week, yeah, and Arva, there's still even more work to do. There's another mountain behind the mountain, isn't there?
Yeah, well, but it's kind of like a strange realization, I guess, that, you know, many of us thought that, you know, after the Cold War and, you know, after all of this, you know, finally everybody understood that democracy and, you know, kind of liberal democracy and, you know, human rights and things like that are values that we will never let go. But, you know, it's this kind of a short-sighted memory that people tend to forget, you know. That's very frustrating.
Do you think Tallinn Music Week could play a part, and music culture and the Estonian culture could play a part, in try to, in a way, re-embracing the people who may have been lost to the far right? Is there any way of pulling those people back in with the cultural glue?
Yes, but I think this is something we need to do. We all need to do on a daily basis, you know, fighting for freedom is something we need to do on a daily basis. That is the kind of a shocking realization that we've had over the couple of years here recently, that we thought that fighting for liberal values is done with. You know, we're in a secure place now. But, you know, as it appears, we need to constantly fight for our rights and freedom every day, because, you know, progress somehow can still turn into regress, apparently. And you know, Tallinn Music Week, of course, wants to continue doing this as well. And the main purpose of Tallinn Music Week is creating this kind of an open spirit of collaboration, you know, showing people the benefit of openness and collaboration across borders, but also across sectors.
Yeah, it's one of the things that makes it a standout event. I mean, like I said in the beginning, not just the range of music, but also the panels you have on, the talks you have on, the guests you invite. I mean, this year you had a panel about the gender pay gap. You'll have other years you've had people talk about poverty in Africa. You've had people talk about political issues, social issues. This is very unusual music kind of events. Usually it's people talk about how to get sync rights or how to get record deals. Good things, good subjects, which you also cover as well. But it's a big pitch. It's a big picture in Tallinn Music Week.
Well, I don't know. It's I think maybe it's a reflection how we are as a team behind it. That of course we're all, you know, working in the music industry, but as human beings, we live in a wider world. So as human beings, we want to connect to the real, you know, issues in the society as well. And these days, I mean, how can we not talk about the environment, for example, and the gender pay gap issue? By the way, Estonia is on the highest number one slot in gender pay gap statistics across EU. So, I mean, these are social problems that actually music industry plays a role in. And there is no industry on the planet that can ignore these topics. And why should music industry ignore? And on the other hand as well, me having been in the music industry, I think half of my life, I always have had this feeling that this industry doesn't develop further if it doesn't gain a much more open sort of an interaction with other industries and sectors. When an industry closes in to just only talking about their specific problems, I think this is when they just lose sight of a broader context and, you know, start going in the direction of becoming meaningless, you know. So, I mean, if music industry, it's a combination of how, if we were not aware of trends that are work, you know, happening in tech and innovation, but also in science, in politics, in social affairs, I mean, how can we be a relevant industry? I don't think we can.
Yeah, that's totally. I mean, because you say you worked in the music industry half your life, have you ever been tempted to step out of the music industry and go to the grubby world of politics? Or do you feel it's better to be in an industry that you really understand and one that has an international influence as well? And really, heart of hearts, you're a creative, cultural person more than a political person.
Well, I think the answer to this is really in the same very thing that we just discussed a minute ago, is the thing that if I would be in a music industry in a way that I would be sort of very short, narrow-minded and short-sighted, really fully on in the music industry, then of course I would be bored already a long time ago. But because music industry for me is an angle through what I access the wider society, I mean, in a way, I kind of sort of felt that I can be part of, you know, the policy making. I'm not talking about the party politics, but I think I can be part of the wider policy making by being in music industry. So, you know, it's because of accessing this, my sort of profession through that angle of connecting it to the broader picture, I think this is what actually keeps me in the industry. Otherwise, you know, of course, as a human being, I would want to make my world a little bit wider.
So it's almost like the music and cultural party.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would never, leaving music industry would never stop me listening to music, of course, vice versa. But yes, I mean, thankfully there are enough incredible sort of far-sighted and open-minded, clever, wise people in the music industry. And I think, you know, this is how we all together keep it relevant. And this is how we actually can offer something valuable to the, you know, rest of the world.
So where do you go from here? You got the two events, you've got Narva, Tala Music Week. Is there ambitions to do further things to make cultural, political, and social change?
I don't know. Well, I never plan like this ahead. I kind of take it from where it leads to. With Narva, we had this dream of making Narva European Capital of Culture. Unfortunately, that in a way fell through because of the politics. But I think for now, I'm looking at those two festivals exactly as we discussed, the tools. As tools in making some broader change in the society. So let's see, you know, let's see where it takes us. I mean, this year's topic in Tallinn Music Week was in a focused manner to discuss about the impact of arts on economy. And it was quite interesting to see how very sort of acknowledged heads of companies at Tallinn Music Week sort of like we're seriously getting into this topic as well, and we're saying that, you know, it's kind of like our whole country's competitive edge actually depends on our arts scene. So I think we're in a very sort of a significant dialogue, and also in a very interesting moment of time here.
You have been listening to the John Robb Tapes with me, John Robb. Brought to you by Lush and Louder Than War. If you enjoy this, please retweet it and tell your mates. Thanks for listening.